Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
About 10 or 12 years ago, we as a church, we did a series in our church, and also it was such a powerful series. We did it through our connect groups, and I think in that stage we had about 325 connect groups going through this study. And it was a study by a great pastor in the United States, Pastor Rick Warren, and he's written a book and a study called The Purpose-Driven Life. And it's famous in Christian circles and in non-Christian circles all around the world. And in this book, he speaks about the five purposes of God. So I don't want to speak about the book. I want to speak about the five purposes that God has for each one of us here on the earth. And you kind of say, you know, what's my purpose? Hey, listen carefully today and you will find out what God's purpose is for you. There's a few important days on the earth for you. The day you were born, that's pretty important. Okay. The day you were born again. And the day you find out what your purpose is. It gives a sense of direction and a sense of fulfillment that I'm just not here, that I was born and then I just exist and then I go out the other end like a sausage machine. No, there is a purpose that you were born. It says even before the creation of the world that God knew you. Can you think about that? 6 billion people on the planet at this moment, and other millions that have been born and gone over the centuries. And God says in Ephesians, he said, before the beginning of the world, I knew you. So God has purpose that you'd be here today, alive on this planet, living with purpose. Amen.
Amen.
So number one purpose is this: that we were planned for God's pleasure. And you might say, what does that mean? So purpose number one is this: to offer real worship to God. In John chapter 4, it speaks about when Jesus says, hey, the time is coming and now is. Time is coming and now is. It is coming and it is now is. Where the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And you might say, well, I'm not too sure about the style of worship here that we do at church. Hey, you're missing the point. It's nothing about style. It's about heart. We worship God at home. We play music here and we sing together and we touch the presence of God and we worship. It's not about style. It's about heart attitude. And I want to encourage our church today. Hey, look beyond the style. Look beyond, that song's about 4 out of 10. Forget about that. Worship God through it in Jesus' name. Let it lift you. Let it empower you. We were created to worship God, to know God and to love God. And I believe as we worship God, we get to know Him and to love Him. And as we get to know Him and love Him, we begin to worship. There's a cycle that begins within our life. As we love Him, we'll worship Him. As we know Him, we'll worship Him. As we worship Him, we know Him and we love Him. And it's a cycle that goes on in our life. So it doesn't matter if it's a sunny day or not a sunny day, if it's a down day and if we're going through hell, man, let's get down and let's worship the Lord. We were created to worship Him. Let all creation worship Him. Let all sons of God worship Him. And I want to tell you, you have the ability. It doesn't matter if you can sing or don't sing. It's got nothing to do with it. It's got a lot to do with your heart's attitude. I will worship you. Amen. We praise afar, we worship close. Praising is a gateway that brings you into the presence of God. Psalms 100 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Give thanks unto Him and bless His name. It's the gateway. And you might say, why do we sing? Hey, we're singing praise because it's a gateway to get into the presence of God. It clears the atmosphere around our life. It opens the heaven so we can go in and worship the Lord. I really pray, church, that each one of us get through the praise gates and start to worship Him. At home, wherever it might be, in your car, drop down and worship God. One of your purposes. Number two is this. We were formed for God's family. Second purpose is to enjoy real fellowship. Oh, I tell you what, it's good to have friends. It's good to have mates. It's good to have people that you hang around with. And when you've left their presence, man, you feel built up. You feel strengthened. Nothing worse than being with people and you walk away and you feel violated. That's not real fellowship. Oh, it is real fellowship, but it's darkness. Real fellowship is when you're walking in the light as He is in the light, and as you fellowship one with the other, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. So you might say, are you talking about fellowship where you've got to get down and open the Bible all the time? Hey, it's probably good for that, but I want to tell you, fellowship is just having friendships that are beneficial to you and you're beneficial to them, and there's something that's a challenge, and it's something that you're walking out and you're getting to know God more, you're becoming more generous, you're becoming more loving. That's what we're talking about, fellowship. And one of your purposes is to know fellowship. Number one is to worship God. Number two is to fellowship, to love people. Poke the person beside you. Say fellowship. You might, hey, fellowship. I remember fellowship by this. Two fellows in a ship. Two fellows, it takes two to fellowship. Oh, I can fellowship by myself. Yeah, I do too. No one argues. Actually, I do have arguments in myself. But take a tablet, then I'm right. But the but fellowship is with others.
Very good.
Thank you. Number three, we were created to become like Christ or Christ-like. So the third purpose is learn real discipleship. Do you want to know what a disciple is? Start to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and get an idea of what Jesus did with His disciples. He was with them. They spoke. They had conversation. They hung out together. They responded to rebukes. They responded to encouragement, and they became Christ-like. And I want to encourage us. You know, people say, is discipleship optional? Not in God's mind. It is in man's mind, because can you accept Christ and go to heaven and never change? Yes, but that's not the real purpose. The real purpose is to accept Jesus. Yes, you'll go to heaven, but I want to go to heaven more like Christ.
Yes.
Man, it's one of our purposes that on this earth we be transformed into the image and likeness of Christ, that affects our spirit, our behavior, our morals, our whole standard of living is changed because, man, we become true followers of Jesus Christ. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. I want to tell you, I want to be a disciple. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a learner. Amen. Number four. We were created and shaped for serving. So the fourth purpose, that we use our abilities to serve each other. We serve God and we serve each other through the abilities and talents that God has given to us. And each one of you here today, you've received a gift, talent, and ability. And God says, okay, dedicate it to me and use it for me. Develop it. It may be any small. It may be, you know, not where you want it to be. But as you develop it, it grows into the thing that you dream of. And the Bible says, hey, your fourth purpose here on earth is that you identify the abilities that God has placed within your life and that you use them to serve one another. The fifth years we were created, listen to this, and made for a mission. Oh, I just like the first one. Lord, I like to worship you. I'll just take number one. Oh, I just love fellowship, man. I'm a party person. Yeah, let's go, man. Hey, yeah, cool. You know, but worship, not too sure, you know, but or we will be created to become more like Christ. Yeah, I like that. I'll stay at home. I won't have any contact with the world. And I'll just isolate myself. And I'll just go the hum all day. And it'll be cool. You know, I'll just take that one. Or I just love serving. No, it's the five of them that are important. Yes. Each one of us weren't created individually for each one of the, as I'll choose. No, they're the five purposes of man. That we were created to worship, that we were created to fellowship, that we were created to become more like Christ, that we were created, you know, that we can use the gifts, talents, and abilities. It makes us fulfilled and satisfied on the inside. And the fifth one is, we were made for a mission. Mission. Not mission impossible, but mission possible. Ah, yeah. God's not setting us up for a lose. He's setting us up for a win. And I just believe that God, today, you know, as we look at our first fruits offering of what the church is doing, I believe that God is setting us up for a win. We've got a record, track record, over 35 years of doing mission work, of reaching our communities. And thank God for what He's done and the thousands of people that have been impacted through Inspire Church. But I want to tell you, there's still more to come in Jesus' name. Hey, how do we know we've reached our end? When every person knows Jesus Christ, where every need is taken care of, where every good deed has been satisfied. When we see the kingdom of God come to this earth in power and authority, then we can say, it is done. But I want to tell you, we don't say it's done. Jesus says it's done. John 17 and verse 18, it says, in the same way you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. So what's God saying? Jesus' prayer, His high priestly prayer here in John 17, He says, God, you gave me a mission. You gave me a mission to come and be born, to grow up around mankind, demonstrate the works of God, to die for the sins of the world, to rise again, and to ascend into heaven. I will fulfill, and I have fulfilled my commission. Now I give them a commission. And what is that? To carry on the work of Jesus Christ on this earth. Yes. Jesus in heaven, disciples are gone, that were then there. We are now disciples, and we carry on the work of Jesus Christ here on this earth. Look at me. It's not something impossible. It's something possible. And you were born to fulfill a mission. Individually and corporately. In your individual life, you're to fulfill a mission of reaching the people in your world as a church. Corporately, God's put a vision in our heart that we reach the people that God's placed upon us, and we can see the grace of God flow into their lives in Jesus' name. You have a ministry in the church, and we have a mission in the world to make a difference in the lives of men and women. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 reads like this, and you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, where? In Jerusalem, where? In Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's broken up into three areas. Where does he say our mission is? In Jerusalem. Who's Jerusalem? The people that are closest to us. And I want to tell you today, church, the people closest to us are the most important. What do you think? Well, let's say the people closest to us are important because we can reach them. And Jesus says, come on, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. What's a witness? Someone who says and declares what they've experienced and what they've seen. And he says, the people closest to you. So here at an Inspire Church, and we'll put things up on the screen in a moment, you know, we minister to the people closest to us. And every week, something happens through the life of this church where we're ministering to people, through our families, through our teachings, through our youth, through our kids, through our women, through our men, through everything within this church, you know, in our daycare centers and our playgroups, we're reaching out. But even in that, there's even more that you probably don't see. So in Jerusalem, then it says Judea and Samaria. Who are those? Judea and Samaria were kind of close to Jerusalem, but not that close. They were kind of close, but kind of like afar off. So they were reachable. And God says, hey, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, they might be different from you, but they're not that far from you. You can still reach them. And then it says the ends of the earth, everybody else. What a great commission that Jesus given. He said, you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses of me. It doesn't mean we all have to run around the world, but we take the area where God's placed us, and we, as an individual, we serve there. But as a church, corporately, man, we can reach Jerusalem, we can reach Samaria and Judea, and we can reach the outermost parts of the world, because it's amazing what we can do as a group together. Yeah. Oh, I love the plan of God. So what we're going to do, we're going to show you a couple of videos. And the first one is what we've been doing in Inspire Community and other areas. So it's our local area. And just let's look at the screen. Thank you.
People are hurting and in need of love and support. We don't have to look too far beyond our own borders to find these families and individuals. We can find them within our very own community. Inspire Community has continued to grow and has developed into a major support and source of hope for thousands of people in the southwestern region of Sydney. In 2016, we have served over 17,000 meals through our soup kitchen, given over 7,000 food care hampers, and have facilitated programs for early school leavers, engaging them into work or further education. We have assisted families with their finances, trained people in life skills, and have continued the work in our youth centre, which not only aims to host youth programs, but to provide a connection point for young people to access and utilise much-needed services, agencies and resources. In addition to our Inspire Community and Youth Centre initiatives, we are passionate and committed to break the cycle of domestic violence within families. Domestic violence is now recognised to be a serious and widespread problem in Australia, with enormous individual and community impacts and social costs. On average, at least one woman a week is killed by a partner or former partner in Australia, and shockingly, one in three Australian women has experienced physical violence since the age of 15. Of those women who experience violence, more than half have children in their care. A woman named Lisa came into our refuge in late 2016 with her three children, ages 8, 6 and 2. Lisa and her children had just escaped from an abusive relationship. They were exhausted, scared and had nowhere else to go. Lisa had been in an abusive relationship since the age of 16 and continued in this relationship for the next 16 years of her life until she finally came looking for help. After a month with the domestic violence refuge, a transitional property became available and was in preparation for Lisa and her children to move into. The woman who walked into the refuge was no longer the same woman who walked out.
We do what we can individually, but as a church, we can reach so much more. You know, and the hundreds of women that we helped this year in domestic violence, you know, situations is amazing, and the stories are amazing. And that's just something that we can do because there is a need. And thank God that we can meet a need, because we as Inspire Church have stepped up and say, yeah, we can make a difference. Thank God we can make a difference.
Thank you for listening to part one of this message.